Well, praise God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. If you can say that with me, Melchizedek. Melchizedek, praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1. Hebrews 7 and verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And we're going to look at a few more scriptures here tonight, but I want to focus our attention upon the book of Hebrews, basically, here. And if you want to put a title on this, you could just call it After Another Order. Amen. After Another Order. Lord, we give you thanks for the depth and the height and the breadth, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Touch us tonight. Touch the word of God. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you're seated tonight. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. It's good to be here on Wednesday night to worship the Lord and to spend time in prayer and in the Word. You know, the great Apostle Paul understood that living for the Lord is a whole bunch more than just going to church. And it's so much more than a profession of faith and understanding the simple things in the Word of God. And yes, there are some simple things in the Word of God, and then there are some deeper things in the Word of God. And I could talk about Acts 2:38, but we're not going to do that tonight because that is the simple things in the Word of God. And when we say simple and we say deep, we're not distinguishing between good and bad, because the Word of God is all good. Amen. And it will bless your life tremendously. And if there's anyone here in the writing to the Hebrews, if there's anyone who should know the Lord and know the Scriptures, it was the Hebrews. If you talk about the Hebrews, another way of saying that, it is the Jews, amen, the nation of Israel. And if there was anyone who should have known the Lord and the Scriptures, it would have been them. And Paul writes to them in chapter 5, if you go back with me to chapter 5, and verse 12, 13, and 14, Brother Reed, when you get there, would you read that for me? All right. Praise God. And so the apostle here, he's wanting to write and minister to the Hebrews about some deep things in the Word of God. And we can't stay at a surface level. Amen. We can't stay at a surface level. I was looking at little Boaz tonight. It looks like he's getting a few teeth coming in. And we expect that to happen. Amen. The only time that we don't have teeth is when we get older. Amen. But we get teeth in our head. It is a natural growth process. And if you have false teeth tonight, that was not an insult, all right? Praise God. But it's the way of life. And we grow, don't we? We start at point A, and then we work our way through life. And we gain knowledge and wisdom, hopefully, as we go through life. And Paul was writing to these people, and he said, by now, You should be teaching. You should be a teacher. But you're not a teacher. What you need to do is become a student. And so we understand then tonight that normal growth in the realm of the Spirit, he said that for everyone that useth milk, there is the milk of the Word. And that's those that are bottle fed. Amen. And they drink only milk. That's all that they drink. That's all they need. Because if you give them anything stronger, you're going to have a big, big problem on your hands. And it is altogether possible if you give an infant strong meat that you probably would kill that infant. He probably or she probably would not survive. And so what he's talking about is not a physical growth of an individual, but he's using that as an example to us that we should grow, that we should understand more, and not just understand more, but get closer to the Lord. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
And we need to understand more and more what God can do for us. But it's more than just what God can do for me and what God will give me, but what is the will of God for my life? And I talk about that a lot, but it is so very, very true. Amen. And what he wants us to do is draw near to him as mature Christians. Amen. Fully grown. The Bible talks about it as perfection, that we may grow to perfection, which is completeness or a finished work. It's like someone that I know, a relative of mine, used to work for him in his welding shop, and he had all kinds of projects that he had started, but he never finished any of them. And one was hanging on off of the wall over here, and there were buckets of bolts over here, and got started on these things, but never did get it finished. And, you know, that's okay in the natural, but it's not okay in the spiritual. We don't need to have things hanging around that we got started that we say, well, I just never got around to that. It's more important to have a spiritual growth than any other kind of growth that we could have. Praise God. It's like the river in Ezekiel chapter 47. And you don't have to turn there tonight, but in Ezekiel chapter 47, the prophet goes to the edge of the river being the flowing of the Holy Ghost and a move of God and God's direction that he is going and the life that he gives to us. And the prophet goes and the angel measures out 1,000 furlongs. And I'm not really sure if I remember right. I think that's a quarter of a mile or something along those lines. And he said, the water was to my ankles. And so the water is about that deep, quarter of a mile in. And then he went a little bit further, and it was up to his loins. That would be just above his knees. And went a little bit further, and it was up to up deeper and deeper. And finally he got to the place where he couldn't go any further. All he could do is just jump in and swim, praise God, and let the current take him where he needed to go. And it talks about that river, and the river goes down into the desert areas, and wherever the river goes, it brings life, praise God. And that's what we need in our walk with God, is not to stay in the shallow water, but continually go to deeper and deeper and deeper things in the Lord. As you study that story out and that vision that Ezekiel had, and the edge of the river was given over to a marsh and given over to salt, which is a bitter thing. And can I say tonight that if we don't go deeper in God, there's going to be something come along to make us bitter. And it's not the will of God that we get bitter. It's the will of God that we get better. Praise God. And get deeper and feel the moving of the current a whole lot more than you can on the side. Praise God. And that's what I want to try to help us tonight and minister to us tonight along these lines, because we cannot stay where we are. We have to move forward. Praise God. I want to say that again. We cannot stay where we are. We have to move forward personally and corporately in the church. Praise God. And so Paul's talking basically here tonight about going to deeper water, or eating things that are stronger, if you want to call it. The scripture calls it stronger. There's something about drinking a glass of milk. How many of you boys on the front row like milk? Amen. See there, they're growing up and they like their milk. But I'll tell you what, you don't need to like that milk so much that you pass up a good rack of barbecued ribs. Amen. Well, praise God. Because there's something better than milk. Amen. And you can have the milk along with the meat. But I'm telling you what, the meat is stronger. Amen. And they say that the human race is the only, they call it animal world, that drinks milk after it is weaned from its mother. And we drink milk. And you can have your milk with your ribs if that's what you want. But I'll just take the ribs and a good glass of iced tea, sweetened up really well with some fried okra. Has anybody not have dinner yet tonight? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm not here to be a temptation to you. Amen. But what Paul is trying to do here is to bring up something that is deeper, that would help the Hebrews, and I believe tonight to help you and I, to have a better understanding of who this man Jesus Christ really is. Now, there's no way in one message here, there's no way in a lifetime that I could ever expound upon the glory of Jesus Christ. But I have just felt recently from the Lord just to preach about him. Amen. And if that doesn't do anything, then nothing's going to do it. Praise God. Because he is glorious. He is wonderful. He is my counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the everlasting Father. There are so many facets of him. Amen. He is the coat of many colors. Praise God. And so many different facets and assets of him. I just want to talk about one here tonight. And we'll get on some more as time progresses. Praise God. But he brings up this subject of this mysterious, seemingly mysterious man called Melchizedek. And Genesis chapter 14 and verse 17, he leaps onto the pages of the scriptures here. And it says, verse 17 of Genesis chapter 14, "And the king of Sodom," and of course, someone had come and spoiled them, taken all of the women and the children and all of the possessions, did the same with Abraham. And Abraham went and defeated them and brought everything back. They didn't lose anything. And that's kind of the setting here of this scripture, or these scriptures. "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer." Amen. He just shredded him like a big block of cheddar cheese. "And of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh," which is the king's dale. "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." Now, to really get an understanding of what this is talking about and the significance of it to me and to you, I don't want to just talk about something that doesn't relate to us, but hopefully it will relate to you somewhere in your life. Amen. Here we have the story of Abraham, And if you think about this, when you read the scriptures, Abraham existed before the law came along. Abraham was there before the Levitical priesthood, before there was ever an Israel, before there was ever Isaac and Jacob, and then the 12 tribes of Israel. And so when we look at this scripture here in Genesis, it predates the law, and we understand tonight that the law gave Levi the responsibility, if I could call it that tonight, the responsibility of being the priesthood. And as a priest, there were high priests that came along, and Melchizedek was a high priest, but he was not a high priest after the order of Levi, because Levi did not exist yet. Scripture says that Levi and Israel was still in the loins of Abraham. He did not have any seed after him, and yet somehow or another, this Melchizedek fit the bill for God, and he became a high priest after the Most High God. He communed with God, and he talked to God about people. He was, in a sense of the word, a mediator. He was someone who ministered before the Lord, and the Bible says that he was the king of Salem, and that king of Salem is actually Jerusalem, amen, and it is the city of Jerusalem where eventually the Lord would set up his nation and put his name in Jerusalem at the temple, praise God. This is all in the future, And so when we look at the Levitical priesthood tonight, they were ordained not for life, but for death. And you look at the law was not perfect in that it did not help man to get closer to God. All the law did in the Old Testament was place a burden upon them, and it pointed a finger at them and said, "You're guilty." Amen. What a terrible thing when you come to the house of God. Every time you come, you're guilty of something. And I have seen that, and it's a travesty when someone beats down the sheep of the Lord. And every time they get together, they've got to preach against something. And I understand there are times that we need to preach against sin. Somebody said amen. And the church ought to get behind the man of God when he preaches about sin. Amen. But that's not what it's all about. That's a part of it, but that's not what it's all about. Amen. There is something that is better than the law in the Old Testament. They were priests after the commandment of the law, and they were commanded. Think about this. I thought about this morning while I was ministering to myself along these lines. It says that they were commanded to be priests even if they didn't want to be a priest. Amen. They were born into the family of Levi, and they had to be a priest. Amen. They at a certain age, they had to join the priesthood because this was after the commandments of the law. And they had to do it even if they didn't want to. And then the other 11 tribes, by the commandment of the law, were commanded not to be priests even if they wanted to. Praise God. So you can see right off here why the law got into the trouble that it did. And so herein is a very important step that we can take into deeper water here tonight. We're not where we can have true joy and peace until we get to the depth of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then with that knowledge of Him, draw closer to Him as a more mature Christian and to be able to eat the meat of the Word of God. Somebody said amen. 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 And so we've got to see who Jesus is. And Paul is relating Jesus Christ to Melchizedek. He is putting the two together. And so we need to put the two together to understand what he was trying to write here and what he was trying to convey to the Hebrews and to us as well. And what we need to understand, that living for the Lord is not all law. Yes, there are laws, and I say tonight they are the moral laws of God that are still apply in the New Testament, that applied in the Old Testament, but there is a change of the law because there was a change of the priesthood. Amen. Scripture tells us clearly that the law brought death, but Jesus said, I have come not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Praise God. And that's what we need to have. Do you have abundant life in Jesus tonight? Well, if you're struggling in that area, maybe I can help you just a little bit to get closer to him, because the more we know about him, the more we realize how much we need him. Amen. If we don't feel like we need him, amen, then we're not going to get in the deeper water. We're just going to stay around the edge and set up the barbecue pit there and watch the water go by and watch what God is doing, but not be involved in it. And so when we see this here tonight, we can see that Jesus came that the old life would pass away and that new life would come to us. Praise God. Jesus then fulfills everything about the Old Testament priesthood and the order of Melchizedek. Those are the two different ones, the Old Testament priesthood and the priesthood of Melchizedek. And so to go to the Old Testament priesthood, and if I had the chalkboard here tonight, I would draw it out, but I think most of us understand this. I hope you do. The setup of the tabernacle in the wilderness and how there was the altar of sacrifice, the brazen laver of water, and then you go into the holy place and the golden candlestick, the table of shewbread, the altar of incense, the veil, and then the holiest of holies where God dwelt. Amen. And when you do a study, even just a surface study, of the old Levitical priesthood, you can see that in everything that they did, there was a voice in the background that said, this is Jesus. This is the coming Messiah. This represents something that is beautiful and awesome. Praise God. And it was there, but they didn't hear it. They didn't see it. Jesus came as the sacrifice. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And in the holy place, he said, I am the light of the world. And he said, I am the bread of life. And he prayed in the garden till great drops of blood came down as incense before the Lord. The Bible says that he was the veil between God and men. Amen. And not only was he the veil, he was the one behind the veil. Praise God. He is everything. He is all in all. Jesus came as the high priest. Amen. He was the priest that offered the sacrifice for the sins of the people. But not only was he the high priest, he was the sacrifice. Amen. He's everything. If you count the posts of the fence around the tabernacle, it is said that it equals the number of the generations from Adam to Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament screams of Jesus Christ. It is shadows and pictures. Amen. God did not come in his fullness because man would not be able to live if he did, but he came in the shadow. Amen. And folks, if we're ever going to get close to God, we got to get back into the shadow. Amen. Get in the closet and shut the door, as they say. Amen. And in secret, talk to God, and God will reveal secrets to you. Amen. From the Word of God, not outside of the Word of God, but from the Word of God. And it will draw you closer and closer. Praise God. And so the law brought death, but Jesus brought life. And this is why he was a high priest, not after Levi, but he was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. And today he stands in that order of Melchizedek. This Melchizedek, who seemingly leaps onto the pages of Scripture out of nowhere, the Scripture talks about him as the forerunner, or a type and a shadow of a higher priesthood that would come through Jesus Christ. Amen. And as I've already said tonight, he was before the law, and he was the King of Jerusalem. He was the high priest of God, and to him, Abraham paid tithes. Now, don't everybody get nervous here tonight. I'm not going to go into a long diatribe about tithes. But can I say this about tithing? Amen. It is one of the milk of the Word of God. That's the milk of the Word of God. That's not the deep things of the Word of God. That is something that we have established that is literally our lifestyle. Amen. We don't think about it every week. Should I or shouldn't I? We just go ahead and do it because we have that relationship with the Lord and that relationship with the work of God in this world, and we establish some things. Amen. We do that in other things, don't we? We establish that we pay our bills on time. A couple of you said amen. And if you don't, you need to. Praise God. And it's very important that we do the right thing. Amen. If you're working on your job, you obey the alarm clock when it goes off in the morning, and you go to work, and it becomes a lifestyle. Amen. I remember working in Boston and driving 45 minutes one way to get to work. And I remember waking up when I pulled into the parking lot at work. Amen. Didn't see a thing, didn't comprehend anything, but it was just a lifestyle. And living for God, there are certain things in living for God that's just natural. It's second nature because over time we've developed. We've drank the milk, and now we've got some teeth. Amen. And we're walking now, and we're talking now. And we're growing and we're gaining ground. Amen. Those are the very basics of the Word of God. And Abraham paid tithes to him. He didn't take the tithes and use it for something else, but the tithe was for the high priest. And this was way before the law was ever established. You look in the Scripture, and Jacob, Abraham's grandson, when he was at Bethel, he told the Lord, he said, "Lord, if you'll go with me and you'll keep me in the way that I go, I will give a tenth unto you." And that was before the law. That was before God ever commanded that a man would give tithe. And I believe that it started out with Adam and Eve, and then it went to Cain and Abel. Cain was not willing to give what God wanted, but Abel was willing to give what God wanted. Abel, he brought the firstlings. Everybody said the firstlings. The firstlings of the flock. That means God gets the first. Amen. And sometimes the blessing or the cursing comes when we pay our tithes last. And we pay all of our bills first, and then we give our tithes last. But I think God deserves, I know God deserves the first. Amen. God deserves the first fruits. And so Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And so I'll just leave it right there. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. All right, praise God. It talks about this Melchizedek as someone who had no father and no mother. And some would say that he was a theophany of God, that he was a manifestation of God and that he was not a man. But the Bible calls him a man, and it says that he is or was the king of Jerusalem. And so he was literally a man, but if you do a little bit of study into it, Brother Eights wrote a book about the great high priest, and in his studies he found that in Jerusalem at that time, the king was not appointed because he had family lineage. He was not appointed the king over that city and over those people because of who his mother and his father was, but he had to have no reputation. He had to be someone that came out of obscurity, and they would put him as the king of their city. And I think that's very interesting. Not too many folks do that. We're into looks, and we're into royalty, and we're into fads and fashion and all of those kinds of things. Well, praise God. But Jesus came, and he was God manifest in the flesh, wasn't he? You talk about royalty. You talk about a high one. Amen. You talk about someone that owns everything, created everything, but he humbled himself and made of himself of no reputation. Praise God. It's what the Scripture says. And Jesus had no earthly father that anybody could point to. And in fact, they said of him that he was born of fornication. Amen. Her own husband, Joseph, was going to have her put away when he found that she was with child. But he gave himself over to the will of God. It was really an amazing thing that Joseph did in submitting to the will of God and raising that boy and believing God that she was not, with child by another man, but that she was with child by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus Christ. The Father's not a God, and the Holy Ghost is not another God, and Jesus in the middle somewhere. But there's only one God, and that God became a father. Praise God. And Jesus did not step into a Levitical lineage where his dad was a high priest, and then he became a high priest. That was not the measure of his kingship. Amen. And with Melchizedek, he had no beginning of days and no ending of days. And so he came as a man who had no reputation, but from that point on to eternity, he would have a reputation. Praise God. He would have a rulership. He would have a kingdom for eternity. And it really speaks of Jesus Christ, who came with no reputation. He had nothing to point to that said, I can be a high priest after Levi. I was born in the tribe of Judah. I have no legal right to be a priest because I'm not in the right family. And so God did it this way because he did not want the final kingdom that he establishes to be a kingdom out of Levi and under that Old Testament law. Praise God, for the law brought death, but the Spirit brings life. Amen. And when Jesus died, the veil was torn in two, And 70 years later, the temple was destroyed. And the reason is God said it is finished. Amen. Jesus said it is finished. It's over with. We're establishing something brand new here, something that man has never experienced before. But in just a little while, they're going to be talking in tongues in an upper room, and they're going to turn the world upside down. Amen. Rather than gloating in their obedience to the law, amen, now they had the power of an endless life. Praise God. And if Jesus came after the Levitical priesthood, now I hope you all are following with me because we're trying to go to some deeper water here tonight. If it was after the lineage of the priesthood, then he could not be an eternal priest of the law and everything in it, and you and I would not have an opportunity to be saved. It would be just for the Jew, but it's thank God it's not just for the Jew, but God turned to the Gentile because there is a different priesthood today. Amen. There is a different way of serving God, and it's a better way. Praise God. The old has gone, and thank God we're in the new. Hebrews chapter 7, Paul goes to Hebrews chapter 7 after he kind of scolds them a little bit and says, by now you need to be a teacher, but I'm going to share some of the principles with you now. And then he goes back to chapter 7, and it's almost as though Paul can't go very far without talking about this Melchizedek. And he comes back to the story of Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? Amen. If the Levitical priesthood and the law that was given to the people was perfect, that it was mature, that it was something that would finish out an individual, there would not be a need for another priesthood. But I think that God in his wisdom chose Melchizedek in the Old Testament because he was giving them a little hint of what was about to come. Amen. Even though it took several thousand years, God just put Melchizedek out there. You don't read about him at all in the Scripture except in Psalms, and we'll read that here in just a minute. But it's just really one Scripture, and it just kind of pops his head up and then pops his head back down, and we don't see anything else about it in Scripture. Amen. But Paul said if it was perfect, there would be no need, but there was the need for a different system, amen. Not carnal commandments, but the power of an endless life. Amen. All right, and so let's read on just a little bit further. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity of the a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. That would be Judah. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which the tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And so it was really a radical, radical thing when this man Jesus came on the scene and started healing the sick and raising the dead. All those folks that were the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, oh, they were a sad lot. They were full of pride. They were full of their law, and the law was good. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. Amen. Converting the soul, the law of the Lord is good. But friend, it's how we approach the law of God and what we receive from the law of God. Amen. That's so very important. The law was given so that we could look at it in the Old Testament and read it and obey it and believe God for the results. But the new covenant that God, or the New Testament that God gave to us, is that He would write the law. You see, the law didn't go away. He wrote the law on the tables of our heart. Amen. Zechariah talks about that. Well, praise God. And so what we're living under tonight and what we need to strive for tonight, amen, is that new life, that new walk with God. Amen. It's not the will of God that we get back and settle in our recliner. Amen. And just kind of float along in our walk with God. Amen. The river's flowing. We're only knee deep right now. And we've got to get deeper and get out there where the fish are. Get out there where the life is. Praise God. And get involved in what God is doing. Because God's moving into the desert area. Well, praise God. He's moving into the desert area. Amen. And appreciate all of you that are faithful to the house of God. It tells me you're not doing it because you have to, but because you want to. And it worries me about folks that don't come, amen, to the house of God regularly, because it is a big question mark in my mind. How committed and how much do they love God and His work? You cannot stay on the side of the river. You're going to get salty. Amen. They say you cannot drink salt water in the ocean, because if you do, you will die. I think that's really interesting. Amen. And if we stay at the edge of the river, we're not going to grow, but we're going to die right there. That's where the alligators are, right on the edge. Just underneath the surface, ready to get you. Praise God. That scared you, didn't it? Or did it wake you up? Somebody said hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so when Jesus came, and I'm going to finish here in just a few moments, but when Jesus came, He did it to change the law, not the moral law of God. Jesus said, I'm not here to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the law by being the Lamb of God. He fulfilled the law by being the high priest. He fulfilled the law by being the golden candlestick and the table of shewbread and the altar of incense. He fulfilled the law by being the sacrifice and by being baptized. And by the way, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus, because He is the one that the whole Scripture, from Genesis to maps, amen, it screams Jesus. Every page you read, it's all about Jesus. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. It's all about Jesus. And what we're living for tonight, it ought to be all about Jesus. Oh, we've got to have our careers and our jobs, but when it's all done, the center of our life ought to be Jesus Christ and His will. I want to get right out in the center of that river. Well, praise God. And so that's why Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. All right, verse 21 of chapter 7. And I promise I'm finishing here shortly. It says, for those priests made without an oath, but this with an oath by Him that said, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All right. And so these priests were made. They were made without an oath. Amen. What that simply means is that God made the Levites, the priesthood, and did not swear that their priesthood would be forever. He never said, Moses, you're going to be a priest. Your son's going to be a priest. Your grandson's going to be a priest, and it's going to go on forever. He did not make the priesthood by an oath, but he made the priesthood as a temporary situation, as a type and as a shadow of things to come. But so much was Jesus made of a surety of a better covenant. And the verse before that, it says, "The Lord swear and will not repent." Now he's talking about Jesus. "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Praise God. And so the priesthood of Jesus Christ is not like the priesthood of the Levites that was temporary, but the order of the priesthood of Jesus Christ is forever. Praise God. That means in my generation, he will be the high priest. He will be the mediator between God, who was in the holiest of holies, and man, who was outside of the temple. He would be the priest. He would be the mediator forever. Praise God. And that means it's for you and your children and their children and as many as the Lord our God shall call. We don't have to go to a temple and a priest who's got a long lineage. Amen. Somebody preached a message one time that God has no grandsons. He doesn't have grandsons. He has sons. Amen. Sons and daughters. Praise God. You got to get it for yourself, young people. Well, praise the Lord. I said I was going to teach, but I feel a little bit of preaching coming here tonight. I'm telling you what, you got to get it for yourself and you got to get it down in your heart. Not because the pastor said or mom or dad says, but you got to get it down deep in your heart. Praise God. Well, praise God. And he says, the Lord swear and will not repent. That means it's never going to change. From Calvary, from Pentecost to today. And if God tarries another 5,000 years, it'll still be Jesus Christ and him crucified. "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death, but this man, because he continueth ever, have an unchangeable priesthood." Amen. Moses died and God buried him. His priesthood was over. But this man, Jesus, Paul's trying to write about deeper things. I hope you get a little bit deeper here tonight from what we're talking about. And it says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost." Wherefore, because of this. Amen. He connects the two thoughts together here with the word wherefore. "Wherefore he," Jesus, "is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." And so, as mature Christians, we don't go anywhere but to Jesus when we have a need in our life. And I know that there are doctors. I go to the doctor. There's food. We go to the grocery store. When we need a lawyer, we go to a lawyer. And I'm not discounting those things tonight. But the scripture says, "In everything, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Praise God. If you need a lawyer for buying a house, I'll tell you what, pray about it first, because you've got an intercessor tonight. You've got someone who's a high priest who knows how to go through the veil and touch God for you. Praise the Lord. His name is Jesus tonight. "For such an high priest became us." Amen. He became us. He came down and became flesh so that he could be our high priest. Praise God. Praise God. who is holy. That's what he was. He was holy. He was harmless. He didn't hurt anybody. He was undefiled, separate from sinners, meaning he did not sin, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Praise God. Once when he offered up himself. Do you really realize who Jesus is tonight? He offered up himself. The old way, they had to offer up a sacrifice for themselves first. And then they had to wash, and then they could offer sacrifice for the people. Jesus didn't have to offer a sacrifice for himself. He was the sacrifice. He was the high priest. He was everything. He is all in all. Oh, praise God. I love him tonight. Do you love him tonight? For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. He had no infirmities. He was not flawed, but he was a man. He became one of us. Praise God. Psalm 110 and verse 1 through 7, and we'll finish here with this tonight. Psalm chapter 110, verse 1, a Psalm of David. Here's a prophecy. Now look at what surrounds Melchizedek in this Psalm chapter 110. One of the very few places that you're going to find Melchizedek in the Old Testament. And what does David start out with? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord said unto my Lord. Two capital L's. Amen. It's talking about the Father and the Son right there. Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. I'm telling you what, we're not just talking about the man Jesus. We're talking about the God that was in him. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Praise God, and he is the mediator. Somebody said amen. Praise God, the mediator between God and men. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. You know, you don't have to take everything into your own hands. I believe God's bigger than me. I believe God's smarter than me. I'm pretty dumb, actually. And so are you. See, we're all in this together. I know y'all think pastor's perfect, but pastor's not perfect. I don't want to pop your bubble tonight. Praise God. I've made mistakes. And guess what? You've made mistakes. Yeah, you can say amen, or you can sit there and look holy, but I'm telling you, if you haven't made a mistake, you're getting ready to. Because we're not perfect. We were made in the image of God, but we sure messed up in the garden, and it hasn't been the same since. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. That's Jesus. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. He's not going to take them away, but right in the big middle of our enemies. David wrote in the book of Psalms, I believe it's the 23rd Psalm, he prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Right in the big middle of our enemies, we can have a feast. We can worship God. We can thank God. We can shout and have joy in our lives. I'm telling you, it's not easy. Jesus said, I put you there in the midst of wolves as sheep. Amen. But we're not defeated tonight. You know why? We've got an avenue to get to God. And that's through the man Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. We have victory tonight. Praise God. I said we have victory tonight. Amen. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn, and there it is again, he swears, and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It was not just a man that was a high priest. He was connected to God. And God said, I'm going to make a new priesthood after this man. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Amen. And so we have a promise here tonight of an endless life. Can we stand together? Whatever you are facing in your life, and when I say whatever, it's all inclusive. Whatever you are facing in life, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Are you going through difficulties tonight? Just go to the high priest. Because when the high priest gets ready to go into the holiest of holies, he'll be able to say, oh, by the way, Lord, Gavin's been praying to me and asking me for $1 million. Yeah, praise the Lord. Garrett's been praying and asking me for victory in this area of his life. And I could go down the list, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. There's nothing that I know of, all right? But I'm telling you what, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous, amen, the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, after a different order, not an order of rules and regulations. Somebody told me once, someone that I pastored in another state, they told me one time after they had left the church, he was the man that was always having difficulties for some reason or another, and we tried to help him, but it was almost impossible. And he was a good man, a very good man, and he loved God, but he could not feel God. He could not feel God, and there was a problem in his spirit why he could not feel God. And he was living under the bondage of law. And finally he got to the place where he rejected law and said, you know what, I'm going to go pastor a church. I'm going to take some people from this church, and I'm going to go pastor a church somewhere. And today he's a pastor. But he can't feel God. You don't want a pastor that can't feel God. Nobody wants a pastor that can't feel God. Amen. And he told me on the phone, I talked to him, it's been many years ago now, and I don't know where he's at spiritually or any of that. And I pray that he understands more of the Word of God. But he said, Yeah, we're different than what we used to be. He said, we dropped the dress code. We dropped the dress code. And the first thought that went through my mind was, this is not a dress code. This is a result of a relationship. Oh, praise God. Praise God. And if you've got a big muscular build and you're married, or single, don't go to work with a shirt that shows all of your muscles. Why? Because I'm in love with one and only one. Don't paint yourself up, ladies. Not because it's a dress code. Not because it's a law. But there's someone that you want to be attracted to, and that's not one of the guys at work. Amen. It's the guy that's working. Amen. And providing for you and loving you. And you know what? When we love God more than we love anything else, we look at the world and we say, is this going to interrupt my relationship with the one I love the most? And we'll normally and naturally come to the conclusion, he's not happy with this. He said that if I'm a friend of the world, I'm an enemy of God. That's powerful stuff. That's powerful stuff. I want to go to heaven more than anything. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. His mercy is forever, and he is of great compassion. Amen. But we've got to see him for who he is tonight. Let's pray together.